Thanks for tuning in to Conversations About Meaningful Things, the podcast where we dig into life, faith, and all the important questions. In a world that can feel isolating sometimes, we want to encourage you that you're not alone, that God loves you and isn't afraid of your questions. And that's the purpose of this podcast. In our time together, you can expect real talk, genuine interviews, and probably a few laughs along the way. Our hope is as you connect, you feel seen, loved, and encouraged as you take steps in your faith journey. So settle in and let's dive into the conversation. We're so happy to have you along.
Hey there, welcome back to Conversations About Meaningful Things. We're glad you decided to join us today, where we like to talk about things that we believe have a lot of meaning. Interesting how that works. But my name is Brian. I'm one of the hosts of this show. To my right is Alex, or I guess across the table where we're seated right now.
He's holding it right. Yeah. Which way is that?
If we're looking circular, he would be right.
And the third voice you hear is our third host.
Yeah, that's me. I'm Steve.
Hey, Steve.
And, good to be around the table and in these conversations with you guys. And hopefully there's folks who are listening in on the conversation. It's a cool time of year. You know, things are starting to warm up and everyone's kind of emerging from the winter. And
it's June if you're listening right now.
It's listener. June.
You might be listening in January right now, but
could be.
It's
catching
warm.
Up. Late binge listening is going on right there. But it's warm. And last weekend I had the opportunity, a privilege really. It's one of the cool things I get to do in the vocation that I'm in is to officiate a wedding. Mm-hmm. And
it was
outdoors, it was beautiful, and as the saying goes, love was in the air. Really enjoyable time.
Have you guys, so I think all three of us, we were talking about this before we started today, we've all three officiated weddings. Do you guys have any like funny fails or times where you like totally misspoke during, I'll go first. So my first, my first wedding that I ever officiated,
give us time to think.
I had written in my notes to remember to seat people, you know, as the bride comes down the aisle and it's beautiful, everybody stands. And typically, traditionally, you seat people fairly soon after the father of the bride comes up with his daughter. I took the please be seated out of my notes because I'm like, I'm going to remember to say that.
Oh, no.
Rookie mistake.
Oh, boy.
We got to like probably 10 to 15 minutes into the ceremony before I realized everybody was still standing.
And nobody just took it upon themselves?
Nobody sat down. The maid of honor leans over. She's like, aren't they supposed to be sitting? And I'm like, yes, they are. So that was, again, rookie mistake. You better believe the next time I officiated, I put it in big bold print. Seat people, you may be seated. Oh, my goodness. You guys have just this perfection over here. You guys.
No, I mean, this isn't one of mine, but I was asked to help out, so I was. I think I may have done like a prayer or something, but I wasn't the official officiant. And the officiant had the marriage license, and everything was kind of breaking up, and people were going, and he forgot to have the best man and maid of honor sign the marriage license, and he's like, "Oh no," and the reason he forgot it is because he didn't bring it with him to the ceremony. So not only had the best man left, and because he had to catch his plane to leave, he didn't even have the marriage license with him because he left it at his house. And so I, within normal speed limit laws or not, went to get the marriage license and then to the airport the best man could sign it, and then back so that the maid of honor could sign it. And then I handed it off to the real officiant who hopefully mailed it in
on time.
Now that I'm thinking about it, maybe I should have just taken that part too.
That couple just found out that they're not legally married.
Hallmark Studios, if you're listening, that sounds like a great script.
Names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Yeah. For me, I have talked to enough pastors and been coached by enough to make sure that it's in big bold letters to say, please be seated.
Yeah.
Legitimately, that was like the one thing that I wanted to make sure was done. So wedding wise, no. things have gone relatively according to plan for officiating at our wedding between me and my wife at the time, fiance, and then wife at the end. At the end, when they announced, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Brian Sealing, it was supposed to play This Will Be an Everlasting Love for us to go down to the aisle, go down the aisle to. Mm-hmm. And our buddy was on the music. He played with my sister and brother-in-law, who are all very good with music. And so they did that. We had a little bit of worship in the middle, and then we were like, yeah, and then you'll just hit play on this song. Like, and I had downloaded it that morning. I was so like, simple. Hey, man, I have it if you want it. And he's like, no, I'll get it.
Oh, boy.
He got it. Then they said, and then introducing the couple, and he went to hit play, and the iPad wasn't going.
Oh, no.
So the amazing thing was it just so happened that we wrapped up right at the hour mark, and so the church we were in, the bells start ringing as we walk down the aisle. And so obviously, really, it was just me that noticed. Susie was just happy. And I was also happy, but also I was just like, oh, I knew he wasn't gonna be able to do it. We get to the end, and I was like, I think that song was supposed to play. So he's like, oh, right, yeah. But no one else knew, and that's the big thing, right? Is that we get so caught up just in the nitty gritty, and it doesn't really matter. But all of that to say, this is kind of that time that love is in the air, that people are thinking about marriage and attending weddings that are either too hot or too cold and trying to figure out what suit you might still fit in for those. But it brings up that idea as you attend a wedding, like, okay, are you married? How is your marriage going? Are you not married? Do you want to be married?
Yeah.
How do you find the one? Is there a one for you? Do you even want a one? So that's kind of our topic of conversation.
Yeah,
for today.
And this might fall in the lap of somebody that's maybe in that kind of college, newly post-college, but really this can apply to anybody in most stages of life, whether this might be you're pursuing a second marriage or you're dating someone you've been dating for a long time and you're trying to ask that question, is this person somebody I want to spend the rest of my life with? I think we can cover a lot of ground today, but yeah, it's a big question.
Yeah, we kind of, you know, a quick question. What's the longest you knew a couple dated before they either got married or broke up?
7 years.
Oh, goodness.
7 years. Yeah. 7.5. Guy went to high school
and with. They broke up.
They're still married with a couple of kids.
Wow.
Doing well.
Good. Good for them.
Any idea, Brian, what's the longest?
Shockingly, I don't keep track of all my friends.
Well, I don't. It's not like I have a book with statistics.
I mean, the first one that came to mind was I went to college with a guy, and his they're now married. They have a kid. But entering into college, like, we were all kind of like, oh, look, there's girls here. That's cool. And he was like, yeah, I have a girlfriend. We're like, oh, cool. Like, when did you guys from high school? And he was like, we're from middle school.
Oh,
they had started dating in middle school.
Wow,
stayed
man.
Solid. Didn't even attend the same college. Solid through. Wow. I went to his wedding. What? It was awesome.
Is this someone you knew That's or you awesome, met man. At college?
Met at college.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, if you knew him all through high school and
didn't
know,
he just had like, a secret girlfriend.
Pretty stealthy.
To another school.
Yes. We've been going steady for.
Yeah.
It's been a secret love.
And you know, some of that probably is determined by where are you at and you're growing and maturing. Like if you're in middle school, probably marriage isn't anywhere on your radar or probably shouldn't be. But. But then, yeah, we do get to those kind of, and we're at one of those seasons where, you know, college year has ended, even high school, you know, has ended, and starting to think about other decisions, other big life decisions, and certainly who is the other person? Is there another person? And that's certainly on a lot of people's radar. So, you know, that is a question that people ask when they refer to the one. And you know is there just one somewhere, and how do we know that? Is there not just one somewhere, but we have some options? What do you guys think?
Mm. Yeah, I guess we should tackle that one first. That's a really good. That one comes up a lot. Like, so are you saying, Steve? Is there just a one? Are you talking about like the whole soulmate idea? Like, there's one soulmate for everybody that you have to go find. Is that what you're alluding to?
Yeah, I think that's some of the thinking about it. There's a lot of implications that fall after that, depending on where you land.
Yeah.
If you say there is just one, you know, does that mean if one person doesn't get the right one, then that there's a domino effect for all the rest of everybody for the course of time? Because that, I mean, the mathematical, logical side of me says, well, that can't work then, because if one person messes up, then everybody's messed up.
Yeah.
I'll go. It seems like Alex needs to think about this for a second. I believe that not the way that everyone thinks there is a soulmate, but I do believe that with the choices that you make puts you in a certain place where there is a best one, where if you've been following what God has for you or not, it puts you in certain positions and certain places that then you come alongside other people. What I tell all the teens at youth group is the closer you get to God, the closer you will be getting towards that person. If God has someone for you, the Bible's very clear that being single for your life is also a very viable life choice as well, which I know not many people like to hear, but it's true, because then you can focus solely on you and God. But I believe that there's times in your life where you've been pursuing God, they've been pursuing God, and you kind of, your paths cross, and God says, okay, now that you're ready, they're the one
God,
for you.
God brings you together and the will alignment, right? Yeah, yeah, I kind of think of it the same way. I'm still giving Alex more time to think. Yeah. But, you know, because I think about that choice is a choice that's in the broader context of how do I determine God's will for me, right? Yeah. So we have those choices all along. This is just one aspect of how do I determine what God has for me. And if we do think that there's just one, only one, ever will only be one, then we do set ourselves up for, first of all, an awful lot of stress trying to figure out among the 6 billion people where that one is.
If you're waiting for the perfect person, you're going to be waiting for a very long time.
Well, no one's perfect.
Correct.
There was one, but they killed him, so he's not available.
That's right.
That's a little tongue-in-cheek. But I do think, just like God's will in the bigger picture is there's always the right path forward from where you're at. Mm. So even if I've taken some wrong turns along the way, you know, I can't go back and say, well, nope, I have to go back and get that exact path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, God says, start now and I will lead you forward. Right. And so, I think even in the dating arena of our lives, if we think, oh, that person would have been a great match for me there, but they made choices or I made choices that now that choice isn't an option anymore, that God still has a best path forward for you. Yeah. And so I would just encourage you not to get overly wrapped and stressed about, oh, what if I don't find the exact only one among 6 billion people?
Yeah.
I do think God always has a best plan forward for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Upon having time to think, I agree with both of you. No, I'm just kidding. That's not a cop-out answer. No, I do agree with you guys, though, because it's a dangerous line of thinking, because you can also extend that to go, and we see this happen, where you have a person or two people who have been married for a while and then wake up one day and go, oh, I picked the wrong one, so this is over. Now, the one that you are married to, if you are married currently, they're the one.
They're the one.
Thank you for that addition. Yeah. Yes. So I believe we both agree wholeheartedly.
I think the idea of there is one soulmate that you have to figure out who that is. I think there are, I like how you put it, Steve, that it's God always has a best path forward. So no matter what your past looks like, that he does. And that may include a spouse, but I appreciate what you said too, Brian. And if you're listening today, I think God gives people the gift of singleness as well, that people are called to that, that's no less honorable or fulfilling to have that. I think people tend to know if that's them. They also tend to know if, I'm not built for that, that I am wired up, or sense that I am wired up to want to get married. And so maybe for that person, definitely, I think we should do an episode one of these days on living a life of singleness and what that can look like. But for that person who is going, no, I'm fairly confident that that I want to find a spouse. How do I do that? Like, what does that look like? What are maybe some things that I should look for, or are there things I should look for? Is the person that I'm dating currently, how do I determine the answer to that question? Are they the one?
Mm. Yeah. Well, Brian, you said, I don't know if you said something or I thought something based on what you were saying earlier, but you talked about like the path that we're on. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the early clues is, who are the people around me that are on the same path I'm on? Mm-hmm. Because the last thing you want in a relationship that's so tight, like a marriage, is it's tended to be that tight. Do you want two divergent directions happening? Mm-hmm. And so who are the people around me? Who are the people that I'm aware of that maybe I have a friendship or relationship with that seem to be going the same direction I'm going? Mm-hmm. Because that will help you avoid so much down the road that is not really helpful or healthy for either one of you in a marriage relationship. So I think that's one of the early indicators. Who's on the same path I'm on? I think that includes both spiritually and but also purposes in life. Like, I really feel like this is what I want to do. These are the things that I'm passionate about. And it's not that opposites don't attract or that we don't complement each other in that relationship, but there needs to be some sense of we are unified or at least harmonious in the same direction that we're going.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're both very adamant that you are called to separate areas of the world, it can make things a bit harder.
I think that would be problematic.
Possibly. You said, Steve, that marriage is very tight. It's the most connected that you could be. The Bible says that what God has brought together, let no one separate. It is as fused as you possibly can.
Yeah.
The analogy, it's not a beautiful analogy at all, but the analogy I used most recently in our relationship series with the teens was I had a car that had leather seats, and we're in the summer now, so things are real hot, and when you sit down on leather seats, your skin seems to fuse with that material, and getting out of that is pretty painful.
Yeah.
And that is a little bit of fusion there. It's this is something that is completely, you are completely together. So it's a big deal to make sure that you're finding the right one. So finding out, making sure that you both love God. That's number one, but making sure that you're heading in the same direction. Cause if you're headed in opposite directions, but you're fused together, that's going to hurt.
And scripture says the two become one. It doesn't say the two hang out and do stuff together.
Right.
It says the two become one. That's, like you said, Brian, that's as intensely fused as is humanly expected here on this earth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've heard this a lot, and maybe I can play devil's advocate a little bit. And I really love God, but I'm dating this person that we've been dating for a long time. And I really, really, really like this person. I want to get married. She's okay with what I'm choosing to do. She's okay with my relationship with God. That's not really her thing, not her lifestyle. But everything else we agree on. We want to get married. We're okay with our differences. We're just going to go ahead with it because we just really, really love each other. Why is it not okay to move forward?
And so just to clarify, you did the he and the she. It could be the other way around,
absolutely.
Right? It could be that the girl is really focused on her relationship with the Lord, and the guy's like, whatever, I'm fine with it. Do you.
Yeah, I'll show up to church with you every once in a while. That's fine.
Once in a while. I would let Brian answer first.
I would say rewind the podcast about 1 minute and hear Steve and Maya's points on the direction you're going in. Steve said it already, the spiritual spot. Again, I mean, I guess it's fresh in my mind, even though it's been several weeks since the relationship series. This is the illustration that I had them do. It was going to be a three-legged race, but we ended up doing a wheelbarrow race instead. So we had two partners And they were to race, except that I had talked to one of the guys who was one of the partners, and I said, don't do anything.
Yeah.
And so one group was in sync, and they went together, and they won.
Yeah.
The other one had one very frustrated partner who was I am going to try to go down this aisle, and my partner has planted their feet, and they're not moving at all.
They're the worst.
When it comes to your spiritual walk and the person you're deciding to do life with, they need to be walking with you, or else you're not going to get very far.
Yeah.
So the Bible says uses a yoke. So that's something that connects usually to oxen, but really any sort of livestock that you're using to plow or to move something. And there is this topic came up this year with some of my teens of the question of being unequally yoked with someone. Maybe you both believe in God and have faith, but one of you is stronger than the other. And I do believe that there's grace in that they can see you in your walk with God, and that can encourage them to strengthen theirs. If you have one ox that's stronger than the other, that could help right the path of the other one.
Yep.
But if you have one that's saying, yeah, you go ahead, I'm going to stay back here.
Yeah,
and you're connected to them, then you're gonna end up really going in circles.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Alex in your setup that there's a person who says like I'm really committed to God. I'm strong in my relationship. The person I'm dating isn't, and we want to move the relationship forward. I guess I would encourage you to consider your statement about, you know, I'm really connected to God and want to follow him, when his instruction to us is pretty clear that you shouldn't be, as Brian mentioned, you know, you shouldn't be connected in direction setting ways with someone who's not going to be looking at the world through the same lens as you are, because it's just so, so difficult. And so it may be a point to say, maybe I need to evaluate where I'm at spiritually because I'm allowing this relationship to, I don't know if tempt's the right word, but I'll use it, to tempt me to really pursue a direction that God has said isn't the best for me and he really doesn't desire for me.
Yeah.
I don't think we would expect that from the person who says, "Yeah, I don't care about God. Like, you do your thing." Like, we wouldn't expect them to have necessarily some really great spiritual wisdom or insight, because that's part of the thing, right? They're saying, "I don't care that much, but you can do it."
Yeah.
So it's really incumbent on the person who says they're serious about their faith to say, "Okay, well, what does the instruction from God look like in this regard?" And those are tough decisions, because we invest in relationship, right? We get emotionally invested. We get, sometimes extended family. Oh, my parents love this person. Yeah. Or, you know, they and my sibling are like best buddies. You know,
your grandma sees you with any girl when you're a teenager. What's her name?
They already seem like part of the family. Like, this would just be so difficult and horrible. And all I can say is, as difficult and horrible as it would be to go different directions now, extrapolate that out 10, 20, 30, 40 years when you've gone different directions for those decades, and how difficult that could be.
I've seen where somebody has drawn out that graph where you have two dots, and if you're both heading the same direction, you're going to get to the same point, but diverge just a tiny bit.
Yeah.
To start off, it's not that much distance. It's not that big of a deal. But like you just said, you extend that out and you're a Grand Canyon apart from each other because of you didn't start from the same place. And I think I love what you said there, Steve, that a relationship like this, I would argue even a serious dating relationship, these are questions you might want to consider, but especially entering into marriage, that covenant, those are direction setting relationships.
Absolutely.
And, I also wonder, you know, in thinking of direction, you know, where am I heading in life? Do you guys think another good question to ask ourselves, or for you listener, if you're in this place in your life where you're going, how do I find the one? Is it a good question to also ask, like, am I ready for this? Mm. Am I the kind of person that is ready to be a spouse? And I'm not saying, again, we're not talking about your goal is to find the perfect spouse because they don't exist. Your goal is not to be the perfect spouse because you won't ever be perfect. But are there things in our life that we should probably get right before we go, I'm ready to get married or entertain the idea of stepping into this?
I think we can all...
Yes. Brian's laughing.
Well, we can all attest to the fact that it just takes one to destroy a relationship, right? Yeah. Or to not have a relationship happen. But it really takes two to have a healthy relationship. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's a great question. Am I prepared? Do I have have I developed the skills just myself and the self-discipline, whatever all of those things are, to be part of a healthy relationship?
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. that's a very foundational question for sure.
That was going to be where I was going to send us next, because I wanted to talk about the heart behind the question that you had, mm-hmm. the question that we all got as youth pastors, okay, but like, he's great. He just doesn't love Jesus.
Yeah.
She's awesome, but she and the heart behind that is that we want someone to complete us. We feel like we're incomplete without the person.
Yeah.
And so we're like, well, I'm not going to be whole without that person. And that is simply just not true. Mm-hmm. What I always tell them is the reason that you don't like being alone is because you don't like hanging out with yourself. Ooh. You need to be a person that you want to hang out with.
Yeah.
So get stronger in your faith, which is not so much you, it's allowing God to work on you.
Yep.
But it's that, like, become, how can you become the person mm-hmm. that whoever it is that you want to end up with, who's the kind of person that they are going to be looking for?
Yeah.
I remember I think it was in high school when I was in youth group, they had us write down, they gave us all index cards and we wrote down, what are some of the aspects that we want in our future wife, our future husband?
Oh, boy. Did you keep the card?
No. It was very funny though, because I remember even at the time being like, wait a second, we're all putting, man, I want them to be, none of us we want them to be attractive, but we just danced around that. I want them to be athletic. I want them to be healthy. I want them to be. And so there's all those things that we think like we want to hold our future spouse in a super high regard, which I believe that you should.
Yeah.
Which means you want your future spouse's future spouse, which is you, to also be held in high regard. And so you need to work on that.
Yeah.
You need to be a good person.
Yeah.
And you mentioned too, Brian, the idea that I'm looking for them to somehow fulfill or mm-hmm. complete me. And, you know, there's that, you know, schmoopy line from a famous movie, it's, you know, oh, you complete me, or mm-hmm. you had me at hello and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And there is romance in the relationship. There absolutely should be. And God designed it that way for sure. But if we're looking for another person to do something for us that, one, we haven't done for ourselves, and that is accept the people that we are, mm-hmm. Or, you know, approve of us, or ultimately the acceptance that we find in a relationship with God.
Yeah.
Every other human relationship will leave us feeling short of that and will wonder, I guess I just didn't pick the right person this time. I just didn't pick the right person. And, you know, that's a dangerous, slippery slope to be on. And so, our own personal health, our own personal spiritual health is really important in that regard.
Yeah. And I think if you are, like you guys both said, if you, I love what you said, Brian, if you're not okay with just hanging out with you, you might not be ready to bring another person in. Mm-hmm. If you are elevating somebody else to a place in your life where I'm not okay if I'm not in a relationship or stepping into a marriage with this person, like I'm somehow incomplete, in that unhealthy sense of like, I'm not, you know, I don't have a sense of worth or value or whatever. I think that's elevating somebody to a place where nobody belongs. Cause eventually mm-hmm. that person's going to fall off that pedestal.
Yeah.
Nobody can be that. And again, I think it's why, again, for whatever reason, looks fade, people change, and if your relationship or foundation that you're starting on together isn't solid or foundational, eventually things are going to start crumbling. So I think, yeah, that's a good starting point.
Yeah. I mean, confidence is such a huge thing, and there's a lot of misplaced confidence in the world, and a lot of fake confidence, but real confidence of knowing who you are in God, then whoever you end up with, if you want to end up with someone, if you do end up with someone, will just be lucky to be coming alongside. They're just going to be that bonus to the life you already have with God, rather than you waiting for them to fulfill something like you were saying that they can't really do. I heard it said this way one time, that it's not that cliche, happy wife, happy life. It's that, well, I just have to do everything for my spouse, and then eventually that means that then I will be okay. It's the reverse. It's happy life, happy wife. That if you're doing all those things that God had you doing before, if you're doing all those things that you were content in that calling that was on your life, don't give those things up. Continue in those, because that's what that person chose you for.
Yeah.
And similarly to your spouse, of they should stay who they are and maintain that confidence they have in who they are in God as well. Kind of going back to our last episode, I guess,
right,
a little
bit. Yeah. I always thought happy spouse, happy house, but so we won't.
Oh, I like that.
Because then we're all included.
It's perfect.
Yeah. So as we wrap
happy
up
husband,
today,
happy.
We'll have to think of. We'll have to come up with a better one.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up, and again, I think we'd love to have maybe some more conversations around
topic. Definitely.
There's a lot to dig into. But as we wrap up, maybe just some final thoughts again for that person that is in that season of going, hey, I'm looking, or I've been dating this person for a little while and I'm trying to figure out, just maybe what are a few takeaways as we say goodbye today.
I'll jump in and you know, I think if I can kind of brush with a broad stroke here, one of the things I think we've said is don't focus on finding the one, focus on being the one, you know, be confident in who you are. Make sure you understand kind of this is the journey that I'm on and who might be my partner in that journey.
Yeah. Brian.
Yeah. All of that. I really like to lean on that. Get to know God and get to know yourself. Again, if you don't like hanging out with yourself, if you don't like being alone with yourself, what makes you think that someone else would want to hang out with you?
It's a hard truth.
Become that. And especially that, like, the part of that reason is that you know the real you, and you are able to work on that.
Yeah.
Between you and God, you can work on that, because once you invite somebody else into your life to share that with yourself fully, there's nothing that can be left to the shadows.
Yeah.
That's just going to be unhealthy. And so, yeah, be the person again that you want your future wife, your future husband to end up with.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I can just echo what you guys have all said. I think it starts with making sure that you are a healthy person and that you are the person that your future spouse has been waiting for, and that they are for you. I think it's a good idea to even maybe sit down and just think through what are some qualities that I'm looking for based on what I know to be true about scripture and the direction I feel like God is giving me, and trust that God is going to bring that person along.
Yeah. Don't you want your wife to have a great husband?
Yeah.
Don't you, and ladies, don't you want your husband to have a great wife?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think, in the meantime, be content with where you are too.
Yeah.
Before you're there.
Yeah.
If you will end up there.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Well, thanks so much for hanging out with us today, guys. Again, if you have any other thoughts, ideas, maybe just continuing the conversation with us. We do check this inbox. We'd love to continue the conversation at podcast@victorchurch.org. We'd love to talk to you there. We'll continue to have some conversations around this topic. But thank you guys so much for hanging out with us today. We'll see you in the next one.
Take care.
See ya.